In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Sometime after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise people from the east came to Jerusalem asking a question. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? It's a question that they must have felt needed an explanation, because they were anticipating the question, what do you mean? Why are you asking? Here's their explanation for why they were there. For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. We know from this text, Matthew tells us right off the bat, that Jesus was born in a specific place and time, Bethlehem of Judea, in the time of King Herod. You see, when the wise people came looking for the King of the Jews, they went to where they thought they would find him. They went to Jerusalem, the seat of power. All the Jews there had to wonder, if these outsiders are so wise, why don't they recognize the king we already have? We've got Herod. Sure, he's not much. And he only holds power because he is allowed to, but we live in a system we cannot change, and yet they had some old wisdom to fall back on, or rather to reach back to. Their sacred texts told them that a real ruler, a Messiah, a shepherd, was promised to them, and that he would come from perhaps an unlikely place. He was coming, and he'd come from Bethlehem. So go to Bethlehem, they told the wise people. Not here, in the halls of power. So they went to look, because wise people that they were, they knew that the old wisdom and that a new star would lead them to where the real power lay. And they found him, a child with Mary, his mother, and they were overwhelmed with joy. They knelt down before the baby, and they paid him homage. So then they opened up their treasure chests, and they gave him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, wise people that they were, they did not go back to the scared ruler of the land, the pretender to the throne. They went home by another road. And it's a beautiful story. It's one that we have come to call the Epiphany story. And the wise people from the east recognized at that moment in history, everything had changed. They were bearing gifts, but they were given gifts, even greater gifts than they had brought in their treasure chests. They were given clarity, a glimpse at real power, and they were given joy. These wise people who have become part of our Christian story only knew the first part of our Christian story. They saw a baby and a mother. They knew that everything had changed, but they didn't really know how Jesus would change the world. We know the rest of the story, right? How Jesus' life played out. How he taught us that love is the only power that is truly effective and can heal and can make a lasting difference in the world. They saw the beginning of something that night that we can see today when our eyes and our hearts are open to the mystery that was born in Bethlehem. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Have you ever had an epiphany? Merriam-Webster defines an epiphany like this. It's a usually sudden manifestation or perception of the essential nature or meaning of something. It's an intuitive grasp of reality through something such as an event, something usually simple and striking. It's an illuminating discovery, a realization, or a disclosure. I think we try to spend a lot of time figuring things out, don't we? I mean, I'd be embarrassed to tell you how much time I spent trying to figure out what to say here this morning. You know, trying to figure out what to say about this passage from Matthew. I tried to parse it out. I tried to make some kind of logical sense out of this beautiful, and let's face it, this somewhat terrible story of wise people who encounter a helpless baby born into a fearful time, who recognize that baby as the real king. Because Herod, crafty, fearful, secretive, power mad, is just as much a main character in this story as Jesus is. So as I was trying to figure out what to say to you all today, I kept returning to Herod. Because the wise people, but because the wise people listened to a dream and decided not to return to Herod, but left for their own country by another road, I decided to follow them. Dreams, intuition, epiphany. These are the ways that God speaks to us when we are present to our true selves, because that is where God is alive, in each one of us. And yet, these are exactly the places that we are told not to look for God, for meaning, or to use what may be a somewhat scary word to some, salvation. We've been told by the fearful times and the fearful culture that we live in, and unfortunately we've been told for centuries by certain parts of the Christian tradition not to look for God inside of ourselves, but to look for God outside. That turns God into the other and ignores the fact, or call it the possibility if you choose, that God is in each one of us if we can only recognize our true selves. Jesus came to reveal that God is not some nobo daddy residing somewhere else, setting out rules and regulations for us, not a God running our lives like a puppet master might, but that God lives here on earth, in us and in our lives as human beings. Jesus came to teach us that that spark of divinity lives in each of us, and that if we understand that, not only in our minds, not only rationally, but really understand it in our embodied lives, that we can recognize that we are all children of God. I believe that we all have these moments of epiphany when suddenly we're graced with a clarity that seems to come out of nowhere. It might be a moment when we see the face of someone we love in a way that we've never seen them before. It might be when a sunset breaks our hearts with its beauty. It might be in that terrible moment when the world and all its demands on us seems too much to bear. It might be that moment when we finally give up and weep and say, I can't go on, and then go on. These are the moments when, if we listen, we can hear the still small voice of God within us, Emmanuel, born in us, saying, there, there, dear heart, you are loved. Jesus was born into a time pardon me. Jesus was born into a time when a fearful man ruled a fearful country. The story we have today, the Epiphany story, goes on in the next few verses to tell about what King Herod went on to do after the wise people left for their own country. He killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. God does not intervene to stop terrible things from happening in this world. Yet we are promised Emmanuel, God with us. You see, it makes no logical sense. So let's go with illogic today, on this day of the Epiphany. Jesus was born into history, just as we all have been born, into a world where we find ourselves already immersed and embedded in a culture that, face it, we did not choose. I was born in Chicago in the time of President Eisenhower. I've been shaped by the times and the places that I've lived, and so have you. I'd like to encourage you all sometime soon to spend a little time thinking about the time and the place you were born and the history that you have lived through, right up to that present moment. And think about all the gifts that you've been given, the beautiful gifts, the terrible gifts, the gifts of clarity. When you suddenly recognized the essential nature or meaning of something, try to hold open the possibility that God is speaking to you right here in your everyday very own lives. It's no small miracle, your life, these times. I read a review in the newspaper yesterday when I was eating breakfast waiting for Carolyn's memorial service, and it was a review of a TV series, but the writer asked a question that really struck me. He asked, "Is the story a problem to be solved or a mystery to be pondered?" And that's when I realized that this Epiphany story, the story of the coming of light into the world, embodied in a baby, is not a problem for me to solve. It's a mystery for me to ponder. And that our lives, our own lives, where God lives and loves us and speaks to us in that still small voice, if only we can be stopped long enough to hear. Our lives are not problems to be solved. They're mysteries to be pondered. So let's go with mystery today. Imagine when you were born, your own star rising. When you were born, God was born once again in you. And it's not too big of a stretch to think that somewhere a star arose with you. That star, Carolyn's star, my star, your star, will never be extinguished. We're all part of this great cosmic ecosystem that is God. Every one of us is indispensable. You are indispensable. That is an epiphany. Amen.